roadside cotton in the ditch. We all picked the cotton, but we never got rich. Daddy was a veteran, a Southern Democrat. They ought to get a rich man to vote like that. Sing it.
And welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. So coming on the program today, U.S. Senator Doug Jones will be with us. That's in the next hour. We'll also have my former colleague from up at Huntsville, WVNN's Dale Jackson, former State Senator Trip Pittman, and State Representative Tommy Haynes. So please, if you would, stay tuned for the duration of the show. But join us now. He is the proprietor of the website junkscience.com. And I've been reading that site for a very long time, particularly back when I was just a cub reporter covering global warming beat at the Media Research Center. But Steve Malloy joins us on the line. Steve, how are you this morning?
Doing great, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for taking time to come on. Wildfires in California are really coming up. And watching the Sunday shows over the weekend, there is, and tell me this is your perception as well, it does seem like there's a concerted issue to tie this to climate change / global warming and really make it a political issue this cycle.
Oh, yeah. There's no question about that. I think Joe Biden is going to be giving a talk this after his speech this afternoon where he's going to link wildfires with climate, of course. That's extremely dubious. I mean, they'd be tied with climate, but not man-made climate change. Scientists know that as long back as 1100 years, California and the whole West was in, multi-decadal periods of drought, as long as 200 years. And drought is not new to California. The 20th century is really the exception. It was very wet. And for all we know, we could be entering into a period where California is going into another 200-year drought just caused by Mother Nature. And if that's the case, I'm afraid that not managing forests is not going to be a very successful strategy. California will just burn until there's nothing left to burn.
But that was one of the president's critiques of what was going on. That forest management, the older, drier, or sickly wood is just not being taken care of, and that's leading to more of these widespread forest fires.
Yeah, we stopped logging, or most of the logging in California and the Northwest 40 years ago because you remember the spotted owl, which wasn't really in danger of not being there. It just, its population had moved. But we stopped logging because of that, and that was the excuse. And over the past 40 years, we have just turned forests in the Northwest into a tinderbox. Just all this dry material has built up, and now along comes a drought to make everything worse. And it's disastrous.
Yeah, but the politics of it, I guess the takeaway now is you got to vote Democrat. But if I'm not mistaken, these states, they're all Democrat governors that set the policy. It's not as if Donald Trump is making forest policy in parts of California, Washington, or Oregon. He's criticizing it. So it's the same thing going on with the cities, right? These Democrat-controlled cities and all the unrest. These states that are having these problems, they're Democrat states, unless you, and even if you think it's climate change, then what, what can the United States do itself?
That's really the irony. I mean, this is happening in blue states, and so blue states are just hurting themselves by, flogging this dead horse of global warming. And in California, for example, the millions of acres that have burned so far have completely erased all the emissions cuts that, California made over the past 10 years. So when you think about it, Californians, which pay, some of the highest electricity and gasoline prices in the country, I think only topped by Hawaii maybe and, one or two crazy northeastern states, they've been paying all these extra costs, and business has endured, this cap and trade system, cap and tax system, and it's all been for naught because these wildfires have just erased all their, supposed emissions cuts.
Well, tell me, are we still talking about a cap and trade or a carbon tax or this has kind of fallen off my radar, but I recall what Democrats had to Congress right after the 06 flip. I believe it was probably 08. Pelosi then passed some kind of climate change bill. It died in the Senate, never made it beyond the Senate. Then 2010 rolls around, and the whole initiative's dead. But what's the buzz out there for a solution this go around?
Well, Biden has a plan to spend, $2 trillion on, doing various things. He wants to electrify the federal fleet. He wants more subsidies for wind and solar. Senate Democrats have passed a bill that would spend $400 billion a year on climate, electric cars, subsidies, blah, 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 blah. Of course, none of this, pass the science, regardless of what you think about the science. None of this is going to matter because the U.S. is an ever, smaller portion of global greenhouse emissions. China burns half the coal that's burned in the world, and India is, increasing its coal production by 40%. And we're not even talking yet about Africa, which has 600 million people that don't really have reliable electricity. So, if you do the math, the U.S. could fall off the planet today, just go dark and remain dark forever and never emit another, ounce of CO2. And atmospheric CO2 concentrations would be, hardly changed. Just a few percent, which, is going to be irrelevant, not discernible in terms of global climate or global temperatures. The whole thing is just really silly. In the end, climate is not about controlling the weather. It's about controlling us.
Did we lose you there, Steve? Up.
I lost you.
Oh, well, that's a... Yeah, we it just went dead there for a moment, such as it is with live radio here. The policy responses, like you said, the Chinese right now, they are the big factor in a lot of this, right? They tend to be the biggest emitter. There's no reason to believe that we're ever going to see them impose limits on themselves anytime, right?
No, China is the biggest emitter, and China is, coal is worth trillions of dollars and Chinese are not going to leave trillions of dollars in the ground, and neither are the Indians, and neither is anybody with any sense. Not to mention all the oil and natural gas. We burn more coal now than ever before. We burn more natural gas than ever before, more gasoline, more oil. And, and this is after 30 years of climate.
I think we just... Can you hear me, Steve?
Yeah.
Faded it out there.
Can you hear me?
I hear you now, yeah.
All right. Sorry. I don't know what that is.
But go ahead. You were talking about how much... We're talking about how much we were using. I guess we could do what we got to do or whatever the Democratic Party thinks we got to do to curb anthropogenic global warming. But it seems to me if we curb our... coal usage, if we incur our fossil fuel usage, there's going to be a market for them somewhere else.
Well, it's just not going to make any difference. We really don't use very much coal anymore. We use a lot more natural gas. But China and India, these developing economies, Africa, they're going to be burning coal, natural gas. Emissions are never going down. That is just the bottom line. Emissions are never going down. And, if you're thinking that wildfires are going to stop and somehow the U.S., reduces emissions. Well, look at California. California has reduced its emissions. It's raised its energy prices, and more of the state is burning than ever before.
Is that what's going on in California? You have all these brownouts, and you have all these this so-called like clean energy or policy underway. But you look at California, and there's the power grid there, the infrastructure there is really struggling because of it.
So during the past few weeks, California has endured rolling blackouts and even voluntary blackouts because they get a lot of power from hydropower. You have dams, but that, of course, that depends on how much water there is. And in a drought, not much hydropower. California has basically stopped using coal. They don't burn any coal in the state. They do import some from other states, but, you know, they're trying to phase that out, and they're also trying to phase out use of natural gas. You know, in periods like this, when it's really hot and the wind doesn't blow and the sun doesn't shine at night, I don't know what California is going to do to produce electricity.
Yeah, and that's, that could be the future here, right? You know, that we'd have to sacrifice. When everybody talks about sacrifice, they don't realize the tangible sacrifices of blackouts and higher utility prices, and all of that adds up, and it's has a negative effect on the overall economy.
Well, we're seeing what the effect of the sacrifices are right now. You know, the mayor of Los Angeles, tweeted out last week, well, it's time to turn off your major appliances, set your, you know, thermostat at 78 degrees. I mean, what is this? California is becoming a third world nation now because of this, you know, insane, you know, green agenda.
And then that, for whatever reason, is a, or they think it gets the vote out. And I suppose it does. I mean, you're always got, but is the environmental left, it seems like it's taken a back seat, given all that we know that's going on in America right now, and who's getting the limelight. But the environmental left in America, is it still a formidable political force?
They raise a lot of money. I mean, it doesn't really show up very much in in-depth polling. I mean, climate, just recently there was a Marist poll, I think, and climate was at the bottom, or it was a Gallup poll. Climate was at the bottom of, the survey in terms of priorities. Everybody says they care about the climate, but then you ask them, how much money would you spend? And more than half of those surveyed are not willing to spend more than, $2 a month. Can't buy much global warming for that.
And it's like all these carbon credits, and I just don't. It seems like this was such the topic du jour back in the day. Al Gore on every channel every so often, and then you'd have these crazy like green telethons across. The different television. It doesn't seem like you see as that much of that. It's all Trump in office.
But you got to keep in mind, we're in the middle of COVID right now, and you got these, the riots in the West. I mean, and a presidential election. So this stuff is not going away. Look, you got to remember that every institution in America, federal government, state governments, universities, think tanks, they've all bought into the global warming agenda. Okay? It's going to be very difficult for them to walk that back. What are they going to say? Oops, we made a mistake. That will destroy their credibility. So they're going to hold on to this. I mean, this is going to be a battle going forward. And I think what, folks like me have been able to show that this is really not about the climate. It's not about controlling the climate. It's about controlling us and how we live. They want to tell us where to live, what to drive, what to eat, how many children to have, et cetera.
I mean, I know there's wildfires underway out west, and we have a tropical storms flaring up in the Gulf. But whenever I see Nancy Pelosi go on television, start talking about Mother Earth and using all these weird terminology, and it's a total shift from anything else in the news cycle, the red flag, it just says to me, well, they're trying to mobilize the environmental left to get them activated, to get them in the game for the election.
Yeah. The bottom line of all this, oddly enough, Gavin Newsom, governor of California, said it perfectly 2 weeks ago in a moment of sanity. He said, we can't control the weather. We can't control or predict the weather. We can only be prepared. And that's about the fairest statement you can make about climate and the weather. You can't control it, can't predict it, but you can be prepared. Now, he has since backed off that. He's gone back into climate insanity. But, there's going to be hurricanes in the Gulf, and, if you don't want to put up with that, then you got to move, because you're not going to be able to change that. And hurricanes are going to come and go, in cycles like they have always have. And, you know, there's a reason why, you know, beach houses just used to be like, you know, ramshackle shacks, because coastal weather is you know, treacherous. But if we're going to start developing the coast, well, you got to be prepared to, you know, for heavy losses, because you get bad weather on the coast.
Well, and just to kind of put a fishy touch on this, the $12 million house the Obamas bought on Martha's Vineyard, if they're worried about, you know, rising sea levels, then why would you invest $12 million on a home, a coastal home?
Yeah. No, that's absolutely true. You know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Greta Thunberg, I call her Greta the Climate Puppet, you know, they both said the world is basically going to end in 10 years unless we go communist. And I'm sorry, this is all ridiculous. And you point out a great point as well. I mean, if Obama was really worried about climate, he wouldn't be building a, you know, house on Martha's Vineyard, which is going to be, you know, overwhelmed by 20-foot seas.
Right. So, yeah. Hey, Steve, we gotta get to a break here. Before I let you go, tell folks where they can find you, social media, where they can check out your website.
Okay, so the website is junkscience.com, and you can get me on Twitter at junkscience.
Steve, I want to thank you for making time for us this morning.
All right, Jeff, thank you.
That was Steve Malloy, junkscience.com. Join us on the program. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porsche Show at FM Talk 106.5.
You work a 40-hour week for a living, just to send it on down the line. This is for the one who drives the big rig.